Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have another segment with Bernie Kosar. So fortunate to have him with us to talk now about the tight ends on this team, Bernie, from 2012. And the position, interestingly, I think the first place I would start is that the Browns offense circa 2012 made more use of the position than in 2011. It looked like more opportunities. Ben Watson, who was the best of the group and the most productive of the group, I mean, but got more chances to catch the football in this offense this past season.
Yeah, the tight end position is something that actually, too, both the guys that I liked with Watson and Cameron, as the season went on, and especially Ben Watson, who's been around a while, you know, and sometimes people think maybe he's old, but he actually got better as the year went on, and I think that the comfort with Brandon and him in particular was really evident at the end of towards the final quarter of the season, and to see that materialize, I think is something that's really good. And you know, the stuff on Jordan Cameron, some of the stuff we said in the last segment, really, really pertains to both tight ends, but him in particular, being a basketball player, not really playing a ton of football in his life, his upside is so much, and to learn some of these basic principles of route running and is something I think that only is going to help him, because I think both of them have that kind of innate ability to want to get better and to want to win and to want to make plays, and they started showing that as the year went on.
Yeah, and you know, well, let's focus first on Watson, because like you said, an older guy, and I know he feels a sense of uncertainty about his future. His contract is up, so you know that has to all be worked out, etc. But as you look at him, I saw a player who, first of all, was the best and most dependable receiver, obviously, of the tight end group, one of the more dependable on the entire team. Still looks like he can run past linebackers and find, you know, knows not only physically do that, Bernie, but knows his way, because he takes great care of himself, knows his way around the secondary to find those seams, which is so critical. And you hit it on the head, too. Brandon Whedon, as a quarterback, was someone who could deliver the ball to him, and that to him was, I'm sure, probably seen as much as he had a rapport and worked well enough with Colt McCoy in 2011. I think there was just more opportunity for him as Brandon Whedon got more comfortable with things to have a quarterback who could get him the ball this past season, too.
Yeah, and it's not a shot on Colt to say he couldn't get him the ball, but Brandon's, you know, even myself, in my prime, my arm wasn't like Brandon Wheaton's. It's, God doesn't create as that many people that have that type of right arm.
Right.
And the stuff he's able to do with it, and he's starting to get his touch a little better, as evident by how he's thrown to the tight end, because a lot of those throws in that 12 to 20 range, 22 range, require a little bit of touch to him. And you could see Ben Watson has kind of that little gift, not only with the way he keeps himself in shape, but how he's really a mismatch on the linebackers, and he's able to kind of find those soft spots in zones, but then eat up linebackers and get himself open at the proper time with his body and positioning and route running to get himself open. And Brandon, especially, again, not to reiterate it, but as the season went on, those two probably felt as comfortable as anybody together pitching and catching the football.
And Jordan Cameron, you could see him coming along as a young talent, but I think still so much for him to learn. It seemed like he was getting it more in terms of how to run routes, how to position himself against defenders, and again, really good hands, good athleticism. Like Watson, not a blocking guy, not that he's not going to give you that completeness at the tight end position. And really, if anything, I almost see him even more as an H-back. I see him as a guy who you utilize, you know, as about as close to a receiver hybrid tight end as anybody.
Well, this position, this position, and again, it goes back to the last segment, just like we were talking about Brandon Wheaton and the type of head coach that comes in and how imperative it is to his development and his success and ability to be successful, that system that comes in, it's very important to Brandon Wheaton to, if he's going to be successful, because in certain systems he can be more successful than others. I think that's incredibly also true with the tight ends. If you're going to go with a Rex Ryan smash them and run type thing, both our tight ends are going to have miserable existences having to get down there and consistently block. If you put both of our tight ends in the Green Bay North Turner type system, you know, where they're running routes more times than blocking, you know, that's something that they would like even more. Typically, teams are in the middle of them, so if you're not the best blocker, the first thing, both of them probably need a little bit of weight. And as Ozzie Newsome did at the end of his career, you know, understanding angles, understanding body position, understanding how to use your hands and your trunk, and just getting yourself in right positions by using angles and quickness, you could do enough in the running game. And I like to see both of those guys kind of take a page from Ozzie's thing, because Ozzie was more of a route runner, right, but he figured out a way to use his positioning and quickness to at least kind of get in the way and do enough to do help in the running game. And then in the passing game, where they both could be dominant, especially Jordan Cameron,
yeah,
with his basketball skills, I'd love to see him take a page out of what I coached Jimmy Graham up down in New Orleans when he was deciding whether to play basketball or become a football player.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan Cameron more reminds me of some of the skills that Jimmy Graham has as a taller guy with good vertical, phenomenal hands. And the basketball thing actually teaches you body position,
right,
boxing out for rebounds. And Jordan has that type of stuff. And you could actually don't need to be afraid to actually use that on the football field when running routes, because offensive guys are actually allowed to make contact with the defensive guys. You tend to get some calls, but being bigger than almost all the safeties, and definitely all the DB, so the nickel and the dime guy in the third down or second and long type package, he's going to be significantly bigger than.
Yeah.
Using body position is one way to get yourself open, and another is the thing we talked about in the last segment. The same thing really applies to receivers, and Jordan hasn't done a lot of it, so I really like his upside with it, and I like his ability to want to be coached and his ability to kind of want to get better, because those are two really important characteristics in a player that, you know, wants to get better, wants to be coached, wants to learn. And if you learn some of the techniques that we're talking about in route running, you could also use that in the slot, in the seams, as the H-back, because the H-back and the two tight ends, you see what Coach Belichick is doing in New England with Hernandez and Kronk. You know, you got two guys in the H-back, and they're doing creative things, and, you know, there's an opportunity for both of those guys actually to be on the field at the same time.
Sure.
Jordan, I think he will take his game to the next level with, again, I don't want to keep repeating the months, I feel like it's a school lesson for second graders talking about those three to five months of day in and day out practice and that stuff. Then you get to training camp and you got a month of it. I really think we're going to see really good things from him if he keeps on that timeline.
Yes, Professor Kozar, absolutely. and just to recap, Watson, 49 receptions. That was fourth on the team. It led the tight ends, of course, 501 yards, 10.2 yards per catch average. He had three touchdown receptions. Two of them we saw in that Dallas game at Dallas. And then Jordan Cameron, 20 receptions. He was the next in line at tight end, 226 yards, 11.3 yards per catch. He also got in the end zone. You know, after that, I mean, when you look at the position, I think this becomes an area of need probably for the Browns going forward. Alex Smith is the only blocker they had at the position. That was his skill, so much so that he became a fullback because this team did not have the answer at that position. So he's playing that spot. And in truth, I think maybe somewhere along the line there is room to bring in maybe that more complete guy. They brought, you mentioned Rob Gronkowski from New England, his brother Dan Gronkowski, who had been on this team through camp and then was released, has been re-signed and is presumably going to be aboard for at least the offseason and maybe training camp and see what he can do. But I think that complete guy could be added to the mix here.
Well, you're definitely right, and even if you were set at the tight ends with three or four of them, with the injuries and the way the league goes, you always want to have a couple more than them, especially when two and three of them are getting on the field at the same time. And again, you had mentioned him. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Alex Smith too. Him kind of being the guy who ends up at fullback, H-back, tight end, his effort level, his ability to put his head in there and block, I really respect that type of stuff. Is he the biggest guy that's ever played tight end? No. Is he the strongest guy that's ever played tight end? No. But I really love the way he was probably the best guy on our offense in terms of the skill position guys that you could put in there and lead up on that Mike linebacker on an ISO play or try to kick out a defensive end or kick out that Sam linebacker on a goal line short yardage play where you need a yard or you need a yard and a half to get that first down or get that touchdown. He was the guy that we relied on, and I really respect how he didn't shy away from contact and how he really put his body at risk by giving everything he had to try to do that. But again, that being said, there are some guys now with God giving so much God-given ability and size and speed and strength that in the game, although I know we love passing, we saw it in the national championship game last night, we're seeing it in these playoff games. The guys who get to have the line of scrimmage won defensively with their D-line and front seven and offensively, not just with the five guys up front, but with that tight end, with that fullback, with your tailback, having that air of toughness up front,
right.
Those are the teams that consistently could play with anybody in the league, play in any game, and they tend to get through the tough games, the playoff games, and it's coming back right now in the league, and I'm really confident, and you could tell passionate about how to be played with that and how you should be playing with it, and I think we're going to see even more of it. That being said, again, Brad Smellie was kind of an H-back, fullback type guy. You know, he's learning how to do it, but there's some guys that maybe we could add to the mix to try to add to that real physical presence that I think really kind of makes a mark for what your team is and who you stand for.
Bernie, tremendous breakdown, as always. We expect from you. Appreciate it, and we will talk soon, my friend.
Sounds great, Vic.
All right, he is Bernie Kosar, the quarterback, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got so much more coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.